the word of God for the people of God. You haven't heard that for a while, have you? You're supposed to say, thanks be to God, yes. You ever thought about how you want to be remembered when you die, you know? What adjectives do you want people to use when they describe you? You know, I think most of us want people to be able to say, well, they made a difference in this world, or they were loving, right? Interesting. When I work with friends or relatives of somebody that has passed on, they very rarely ever say anything about their faith, even though it might be somebody that has gone to church for a long, long time, you know? For me, my greatest hope is that when I pass on, somebody will be able to say that she trusted and followed in God to the very end. You know, as we join Paul today, he's finally come to Ephesus, which is going to be where he is for most of his third missionary journey. He gets there, and Ephesus is the center of worship for the main god there, Artemis. And there, the people used to buy all kinds of tokens and scrolls and everything else so they can learn to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, so they could have some kind of security. Paul gets there and he realizes they don't know anything much. You know, it was a fledgling congregation. He's been there several times, but they don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. So he ends up having to spend 3 years there. And towards the end of the 3 years, he actually got them to go and break and burn up all the scrolls and all the false idols that they have. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't have any statues or any written documents to idols, do I? Do you guys think we have any of those? Yeah, you know, but that doesn't mean we don't have them, because I got to thinking about it. Where do we typically put our security in? And I thought about words like 401ks, and I thought about our careers, our retirement plans, right? Being in the military for the whole career, that might be one, right? Borders, alarm systems in our homes, you know, we do that. And I thought, realistically, would we get rid of all those? Turn to your neighbor and say, there's no way I'm going to get rid of them. Because there's something about trying to feel secure, isn't it? But isn't that the weirdest thing about that? Is there any real security in this world? We might drop dead tomorrow. We don't know. But we hang on to these things. We hang on to these symbols that say that we're secure. But there's only one security. And what's that? That's belief in God and knowing that eternity not only lies in our hearts, but it lies with God. So Paul knew this. Paul knew his only security was in God. You know, there was no security in Ephesus for Paul. I got to tell you that, because how angry do you think the silversmiths got when everybody quit buying their little statues and their scrolls that they were making? They got pretty upset, so they ran him out of time for his life. And so I guess he's so tired of being warned that he decides, I'm just going to set my eyes on Jerusalem, just like who else, by the way, set their eyes on Jerusalem? Remember reading that in Scripture? Jesus, yes, Jesus set his eyes, okay? So he's been serving like 20 years. Did you know we covered 20 years in 3 weeks? It was pretty amazing, wasn't it? You know? He's traveled thousands and thousands of miles. I find this absolutely amazing to me. You know, he spread the gospel all the way across the Roman Empire. You know, he has founded dozens of churches. He's mentored many, many generations of people that are going to be coming up to carry the faith, you know. And he's written the earliest documents that we really have about the theology, the New Testament that we use, you know. Profoundly shaped what we ultimately believe in our faith, right? Altered the future of Western civilization, totally, a whole lot. But you know what's the most amazing thing? Do you think he knew that? He didn't know it, did he? And sometimes the things that we do, we are called to be faithful and do them, not because we know what the outcome's going to be at the end, because I found out in my life, most of the time you don't know. Until you finally get there and you look back and you say, oh yeah, God, that's what I was doing. So here's Paul planting thousands of these seeds everywhere, not knowing what it would turn out to be, you know? And I'm sure that there was times Just like all of us, times when we're really trying to do what's right, when we're really trying to do the will of God, and we just kind of get discouraged. It might be our health. It might be people saying, I don't think you should do that. It might be losing friends or a job or whatever it is. Paul had a lot to say about being discouraged. What did he say?
From 2 Corinthians, I've worked much harder. I've been imprisoned much more often. I've been beaten more times than I can count. I have faced death many times. I have received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews 5 times. I was beaten with rods 3 times. I was stoned once. I was shipwrecked 3 times. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I've been on many journeys. I faced dangers from rivers, robbers, my people, and Gentiles. I faced dangers in the city, in the desert, on the sea, and from false brothers and sisters. I faced these dangers with hard work and heavy labor, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, and in the cold, without enough clothes. Besides all the other things I could mention, there's my daily stress because I'm concerned about all the churches.
When you hear that litany, don't you find it amazing that he kept going? And I look at my life, and maybe you look at yours, and you think, and I let that little thing, that little fear, my being afraid to take a risk, stop me from fulfilling what God had in store for me, you know? In spite of all these costs that he had, he never gave up. Even to when he faced that final chapter of his life. You know, as Paul is traveling to Jerusalem, again, he knew it was going to be difficulties there, right? Here's what he said. I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, how many of you are willing to die in Lansing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Good for you. I, for myself, if I were him, I probably would have turned back on the road and said, there's a whole lot of churches I could probably help in that direction. But he didn't do that, did he? He's, you know, in fact, I got to thinking about it, and I think there's several times in my life that I have turned around. Sometimes it was on a job, and I lied just to be able to keep the job instead of saying, okay, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say the truth. Sometimes it was in churches where I knew they needed to make a change. But I was pretty gutless because of the strong personality of some of the people there. And maybe you've had this occasion where you've lied on a job. Maybe you've not, you stopped disciplining your kid because you just are afraid of the backlash anymore, you know. Or maybe you went back to drinking or drugs or pornography because you just didn't think you could face life anymore without them. Or you quit going to church because somebody just happened to say something that you didn't agree with. Or maybe you cheated on your spouse because you didn't have the guts to sit down and talk through what was going in your mind. I think we've all done it. It isn't easy to keep going when your body and your brain are saying, run, isn't it? And we've all been those places, you know, like Paul, though, we have to ask our question, are we willing to trust? Are we willing to trust in Jesus and follow Jesus regardless of how difficult life can be? Even it means that we die for our faith. Paul might have been killed in Jerusalem, but he wasn't. He was sent to prison for 2 years by Caesarea by the sea, and from there, at some point, he got moved to Rome. There was a fire there. He got into trouble there while he was doing that, but while he was in Rome, that's when he started writing many of these beautiful letters. I don't know that when I was in prison, that's exactly what I would be doing, writing beautiful letters. I'd be writing letters to my attorney saying, get me out of here. I'd be writing to my relatives and saying, can you send me some stamps or can you send me some food or art supplies, whatever it is. But he kept that focus the whole time on what truly was important in life, focusing those fledgling congregations on what they needed to do to live their faith, you know. At the first of my sermon, I ask you how you wanted to be remembered. You know, Philippians 4 sheds a little bit of light about how Paul wanted to be remembered when he no longer was here. Let's hear what Paul said.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. He goes on later to say, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain."
It's a tradition then that Paul was taken from the prison at some point, beheaded and buried in Rome. I'm sure they have some site now that they say that's where it was. We don't know for sure. But here's the thing. Was Paul's death the end of the story? No, right? Because the churches he founded, the converts that he makes, the letters he wrote, the theological reflections would keep be going. Here we are preaching about what Paul did over 2,000 years later, right? I think our gain from Paul is this. Paul taught us what it really means to be a Christian. So we come to the end of our series. There on Damascus Road, Paul met Christ, and he was called to lay aside his hopes and dreams and to follow God's hopes and dreams, you know, to take that gospel to the Gentiles who had never heard it, you know, to live a life totally surrendered to God, to experience danger, to experience suffering, but to also experience joy and to experience peace. And Paul did it. He was faithful to the end. So I ask you again, look at that slip of paper that you've got in your bulletin. What do you want people to say about you when you're no longer here? How do you want them to describe your life? What I want you to do is take that slip of paper home, and I want you to put those adjectives in there that you want people to say about you when you die. And then what I want you to do is to live in it, into it. Because Paul didn't start living into being persevering and loving and faithful and kind and gentle, all the things he wrote about, did he? So I want you to live into being the person that they're going to talk about, they're going to write about when you die. And then put that card somewhere that you see it every day, and every night, I want you to say this. Was I that person today? Was I kind? Was I loving? Was I faithful? Was I trusting? And if not, pardon me, God, for not being that way. Help me to be the person that you created me to be. Are you following God's hopes or dreams? Are you following your own? There is a difference. I want to end this series with this beautiful song that Colton Dixon sings it. It's called Through It All, and I think the chorus encapsulates Paul's life. I hope you feel the same way. This is what it says. I have won, and I have lost. I got it right sometimes, and sometimes I didn't. Life's been a journey, and I've seen joy, I've seen regret. But you have been my God through all of it.